Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Man, loving that ice forming on Collins Cove. Keep these frigid temperatures going. Just knock down on the wind, man. Let's lock up some South Jersey waters and ice and get right to it. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 11th and 12th. Hey, the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo goes on through tomorrow until 2 o'clock. Great event, packed house. There's no room in there. It's going to be jammed. Just go there and enjoy it. Some great deals. Any kind of boat you want, they are there. You got fishing tackle. They have a myriad vendors. It's going to be a great time. Try to get down there. We're going to get down there, I think, Saturday afternoon. And then again, most of the day, Sunday. Tog bites going on. Scratchy. We can get out there. But when the boats are hopefully sailing this week and into next week, it's supposed to temper down. Our guest the next two segments is Frank Mihalik, a pro togger, man. Designed a rod for Century, and he is also an outdoor writer extraordinaire. You've seen him give seminars, AC Boat Show, Saltwater Expo, at Infinite. He's giving a seminar tomorrow, Sunday, at the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo at 12:30. Frank will be on in a couple of minutes. He's patiently waiting. Still plenty of hunting going on into mid-February. And sometimes beyond, squirrels and bunnies go to February 22nd. Statewide winter bow goes through January 31st. And certain DMZs through February 15th. Check page 34 in the digest for these DMZs. Coyote and fox goes to March 15th. And that includes a special permit season. The permit for that, able to go hunting at night. Bobwhites go to January 31st. Pheasants, February 17th, permit and muzzleloader shotgun are going on. That's going to go on, I think, till February 8th or something like that. Again, permits required. Check page 35 in the digest for those DMZs. Waterfowl, okay, about the ducks and geese. We're getting something to this in a minute or so. South Zone ducks goes to January 23rd. Canada geese up there January 25th. Coastal Zone ducks January 31st. And Canada geese, January 31st as well. Special winter Canada goose season, January 27th to February 15th. The maps on page 36 in the digest is the two distinct areas of the state. These are targeting primarily resident birds. Lake geese, the snows and cackling, they go to February 15th. Then the conservation order hunt runs February 17th through April 5th, usually by St. Paddy's Day. These flocks are pretty much gone. Speaking of geese, okay, avian flu is hitting in New Jersey. They have some confirmed cases up north, central and north Warren, Middlesex, Morris, and Sussex counties. They're finding some dead snows down here in the southern tier counties, and they're being necropsied as we speak. And we're going to see what's happening with that. I have a request into the press office to have the fish and wildlife pathologist on next weekend's show to talk about this avian flu. It's badass, man. It can wipe out population. I talked to people over in Pennsylvania. Actually seen some snow geese falling from the sky. It is some crazy stuff. Anyway, coming up our next segment, we're going to be talking tog. And then we have Assistant Commissioner of Fish and Wildlife, DEP, Dave Golden on. Hey, man, change to the upgrade to the Fishing Buddy system, and also some news on the 2026 Freshwater Fish Code. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Let the cold continue.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
May old car problems be forgot in a brand new
Kia with over 1,100 new Kias, like the all-wheel drive Kia Sportage or Sorento SUV. Zero down, zero payments until March, or 0% for 48 months. So bring any trade, because if you have a job clearing $450 per week, you're practically approved during the Season of New Traditions sales event. Buried in a loan or lease? Matt Platt Kia wants to get you released. New Kia K4, just $159 per month lease with zero security deposit and only $36.95 due. Matt Platt Kia, your PA and New Jersey Kia go-to, with over 1,100 new Kias to choose from. Matt Platt Kia, Abington, Egg Harbor Township, Tom's River, or right to your front door.
It's gotta be a Matt Black Kia.
With approved credit, $13.89 per thousand finance. Not all will qualify. Offers can't be combined. Go to MattBlackKiaNJ.com for complete details, or 888-505-6670. Price includes all costs to be paid by consumer, except for licensing, registration, and taxes. Through KMF, rebates and incentives to dealer expires 1/14/25.
Matt Black Kia, 6211 Black Horse Pike, Egg Harbor Township, and on Route 37 in Tom's River.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in New Jersey at highschoolofficials.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 11th and 12th. Again, early. Full disclosure. We're in the studio very early this week because I will be departing for a few days. Ice fishing up north, maybe getting a winter boat trip, and then roaring back down Friday afternoon because I will be at the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo Saturday and Sunday. Hey, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM, South Jersey's top-rated talk show station. Also, WPG 1450 AM, streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked into 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio Message 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Go to Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. And let's get it down with the tog, man. This is crunch time, blackfish time. Yeah, this is when I'm going to put it right out there right now. This is when pro toggers are out there. Time for some big fish, really scratchy bites, cold water currents. This separates the toggers from the pro toggers. Join us online right now with that nom de plume is the fantastic tog angler. One of the best is Frank Mihalik. He is also Mihalik, whatever. His pronunciation is like Pagliaroli. It's short, but it's a tough one. He's a rod designer for Century Rods, outstanding outdoor. And people, let me tell you something this about Frank. I've known him for years, gives fantastic seminars. In fact, he's going to be doing one, looks like Sunday afternoon at the Wildwood Expo. Frank is one of the most enthusiastic anglers when it comes to helping others up their game. Totally unselfish, wants to share the knowledge and his experience. It's fantastic to watch him do this. And he's really helped a lot of people, not only with the tog, but with the fluke as well. And if you check his articles in Fisherman Magazine, among others, the man is on top of his game all the time. But as he told me, Tom P., I'm always looking to learn something. He's going to give us a tutorial on some crunch time winter tog. And Frank Mihalik, thanks for joining us. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you? Thanks for having me today.
More than welcome. Now, you're going to be Lock Cox. You're going to be at the Wildwood Expo. You're going to be at the AC Boat Show giving a seminar again, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the AC Boat Show on March 1st at 2 p.m. And I'm also going to be at the New Jersey Saltwater Fishing Expo on March 15th and 16th. I'll be doing seminars both Saturday and Sunday up there at the expo.
Hey, people, let me tell you this. I'm just telling you, Frank, for example, 2 o'clock, get to the seminar room, get in line, whatever, by at least quarter or two because the seats are filled. But, Frank, enough of that. Let's get to the togging game now. We're going to get into some Century Rods, another segment. But Frank, this time of year, no doubt the toughest, you think, for putting not only keepers, not keepers, you know, whatever. No, the trophy tog, at least getting them on the deck for a quick photo release. What do you think?
No, man, this is my time. I don't really start getting serious till about, well after Thanksgiving. The week before Christmas, I start to get a little bit extra happy. And that's kind of like where I am now. And I go absolutely hardcore, usually until the guys in Cape May pull their boats.
Right.
Which is, I usually stop fishing around January. Like my last trip this year is January 17th. And that's usually about when they pull the boats. So that's usually where I wrap it up down there. Because after that, it just gets way too cold. And I mean, even this year, the weather's been so bad. And I literally have a charter trip from mid-November till mid-January. I have a boat chartered every Saturday and every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes one or two days during the week. So far this year, I mean, my actual go rate on a trip is like 20%. So I've missed a lot of trips. But when I get out there, I've had some great fish caught.
Frank, again, this time of year, again, separating the run-of-the-mill and the good toggers from, again, the people who have upped their game to get to a higher level here with this winter tog. But I remember it was a tradition with me for years, January 1st on the Carolyn Ann, which is now the Captain Cal 2 up there at a Belmore when it was in Barnegat Light. Always, it was like a traditional trip. scratchy bites, Frank. Water was always 41, 42, 43, tough. And yet, shout out to Bill Figley, father of the artificial reef program. He would always get his two or three. And the Sharpies, especially the guys that brought the hermit crabs, Frank. Mary, mother of God. Yeah. But the bite was always tough. And Gina, she was the maid at the time, Gina Lunch would say, Tom P., this is what separates the men toggers from the kid toggers. And she was right. It's a tough go. Do you find it, again, you thrive in this weather. You and these other Sharpies. What is it, right, the challenge of the ice cold water, getting these things to bite, and you seem to get it on a consistent basis, man?
Tom, to be honest with you, I'm not interested in catching regular togs.
I know.
I'm not interested in catching roasters. I'm there to focus on large fish. And the way I do it is to present a certain bait a certain way, and I'm very tuned into what the conditions are like. And what I mean by that is, like, if the current is running real hard, and then if the current starts to slack out, like if the tide starts to slack and then the tides want to start going the other way, as conditions are what they are, I'll have to change a little bit. And what I mean by that is, I see guys fishing with me out of Cape May the same way they fish out of Point Pleasant. They're fishing a slider rig. They have big halves of it, you know, two big halves of a jumbo crab on each hook of their slider rig. They drop it to the bottom, and they do catch some fish. I'm fishing more like I'm fishing with, like, a V rig with, like, a medium-sized crab, you know, a hook in each size, drop it on the deck, step on it a couple of times, put it to the bottom and let her eat. I mean, with a bait that size, I have plenty of time for the bait. The bait will survive a couple scratch, and it'll survive a few good womp. But, you know, I'm not going to run out of bait unless I kind of choose to just not swing. But the thing is, I just don't swing until the fish really, really has that bait going, you know, going really good. And sometimes the fish will actually just start walking off with the sinker. But usually I'll just fish through those little taps until I get a good, you know, a good womp. And then it's, you know, it's all in how you set the hook, and what you do in that first 15 seconds has to do with whether you land that fish or whether you lose that fish.
Well, Frank, have there been instances where you felt the scratch, and then nothing, you reel up and your bait's gone? Is that basically a smaller fish or what? Or the big one's just that smart?
Sometimes, Tommy, sometimes if the fish are not eating right, maybe the current's running really hard or whatever, and the fish are just not eating it right, I'll put it to the bottom and I'll let them eat the crab. And if they, they stop it, I'll put another one down. I'll let them eat the crab. I'll put another one down. I'll let it eat the crab. It might be on my fourth crab before that fish gets worked up enough and he starts chewing it the right way. And then I got him, you know. A lot of times when we pull up on a wreck, we probably pull up on a wreck and all the baits go to the bottom. Sometimes I'm first bait to the bottom and boom, I got a big fish on. Sometimes we got six baits go to the bottom and nobody's getting bit. And it takes a little bit of time for the fish to start to get excited, for the fish on the wreck to start to hear these other fish eating. You know, because the fish feel the vibrations and they hear the sound of the crabs crunching. So it will
attract
fish from other parts of the wreck.
I never even thought of that, Frank.
Well, you know, sound in water travels. Yeah. Sound travels 10 times faster through water than it does through air, and it travels 100 times as far.
I know the rattle thing, because, you know, my rattle bait, my bass horn days way back when, you know, the rattle baits or whatever, Stanley with the S&S rattle tail that came out years ago. But I never equated that with, oh, man. Hey, man, Ernie down the other end of the wreck is really crunching up. What's down there? You know, I never put it up to that.
If Ernie's sitting next to me, and if Ernie doesn't fish a whole lot and he's bouncing his sinker up and down off the bottom, I'm either going to tell Bernie to go to the other side of the boat, because Bernie's going to be catching dogfish all day. I don't want Bernie anywhere near me. If I am stuck next to him, I'm going to be flipping as far away from the boat as I can to get away from him, because those unnatural sounds of, you know, if the sinker's coming off the bottom and it's hitting on something like a rock or a hard piece of structure, and it's making this unnatural knocking noise in the water, the fish sometimes will become spooked. They will become aware. So
wow.
I, you know, again, I'm all about getting that crab on the bottom, fishing the slack line. Don't move that sinker. Wait till you get them good, and then it's your chance to own them.
Frank, strictly a white legger game? Because you're offshore now. That's the natural crab that's out there. Any guys still using greens? In a pinch, could a green crab work?
Oh, sure. I mean, if we're on the boat and all we have is green crabs, sure, they'll work. They might not work as well. I mean, and if five guys on the boat are using green crabs and one guy's using white crabs, the guy using white crabs will probably, in effect, shut that green crab bite down.
Wow.
But if that's all you have is green crabs, by all means, go. You know, by all means, give it a shot.
And, Frank, what is it about? I've only seen this several times, three, I count numbers on one hand, but incredibly effective. These guys were good, really good. But with the hermit crabs, one, where the hell do you get them? And two, they were out fishing the white leggers. The few guys that had them.
You get them from conch fishermen. They get in the conch tracks. But hermit crabs are very soft. Like, once you get them out of the shell, they almost look like a crayfish type of thing. But their body is very, very soft. So when you put it on the hook, when you put it to the bottom, when you're fishing hermit crabs, when a blackfish hits a hermit crab, here's the bite. Now, we're used to fishing white leggers, and we're letting them chew it and chew it and chew it. When you're fishing a hermit crab, you get tick, and your bait's gone. That's it. That's it. You're all. You got one tick. Your bait's gone, and you're done. So, it's very hard for me to adjust from fishing a white crab bite to fishing the hermit crab bite, and I really just prefer not to get into doing that because. It's a whole different kind of fishery, and I just, so uncommon. It happens so infrequently that I just really don't mess with it a whole lot. I'd rather fish spider crabs, to be honest with you.
Spiders?
Absolutely. Blackfish eat them every day. Every day.
Frank, Tom P is speechless. So now we're going to have to talk about that off the air. But we're speaking with Frank Mahalik, pro togger Frank. Also, I hear out there you often refer to professionally and respectfully as Frank Double D, as in double digit. when it comes to togging, yeah.
Frank. Maybe I get a little lucky.
There you do. Frank, going to hang in for another segment. I want to get more into Craig, you mentioned stepping on the crab. Now, just cracking it, you crunching it, what are you doing? And doesn't that, let's more sound, but doesn't that result in like a quicker takeoff of the bait?
Nah, I'll take a white crab, say maybe ideally like, say, 3 inches across. I'll cut the legs off each side if the current's good, and I'll put a hook in each side, like in the front hole and out like the middle. I'll put a hook in each side for my V-rig. And I'll drop it to the bottom, and I'll literally step on it with my foot. And sometimes if there's not a lot of current, I'll step on it a couple times. When those fish get good and hot, when that bait hits the bottom and there's a really good sense of scent in the water and that crab is just sitting there begging to be eaten, for some reason in Cape May, it is extremely effective. I affectionately call that a Cape May pancake. Now, guys go with me from up north. They fish the way they want. I fish the way I do down here. I get my share.
Vintage Mahalik. People, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. We'll be back another break with Frank Pro Togger. We're going to talk a couple more things with tactics. And I want to get to these Century rods, Mr. Rem. They're the cat's ass, man. I'm seeing them more and more places on more and more boats. People, grab that cup, grab that rub. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Do guns and drugs mix? They're not supposed to, but a new federal court ruling might clarify or confuse what that means. The case involves Adrian Gill II, a man from El Paso, arrested and imprisoned for possessing a firearm while also possessing bags of marijuana. The arrest took place in 2021 at his home when police were called over a disturbance at the home involving guns. Federal law prohibits firearms ownership by drug users, something for which presidential son Hunter Biden was just pardoned. But Gill now argues he was not using marijuana at the time of his arrest and otherwise legally owned his gun. And now a Bill Clinton-appointed federal judge agrees, saying the Second Amendment protects him and that laws aimed at curbing gun possession and drug use are aimed at presently intoxicated persons, and police couldn't prove Gill was under the influence. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside. Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Jack and weekend of January 11th and 12th. We're speaking with Frank Protog about how Tog time, crunch Tog time. Now, Frank, to close out the segment, you had mentioned that when the bite gets hot, you have these, you're doing the K-Made pancake out there. They're getting on. They're starting to chew, starting to chew. Again, vagaries in the bite itself. How long can it last? Can it be like 10, 12, 15 minutes, maybe longer, and then something happens, maybe a change in the current water temperature for some off-the-wall reason, drops it, whatever. Bite turn on and turn off and turn on again, turn off that quickly?
Yeah. Sometimes it will turn on and off because of conditions. Sometimes when it's, you know, sometimes you get on a new wreck and the fish aren't very active at the time, and after it might take 15-20 minutes for them to come over and start getting excited and chewing under the boat. A lot of times, Tom, it's when the bite gets slow, you know, when there's a decent bite, when it starts to slow up, that's when I really stay focused, because a lot of times it's when those conditions change, when that tide starts to slack, or when the tide changes and it starts going the other direction, when all the other fish are not feeding, that's when I really want to, you know, stay with my plan, keep fishing whole crabs, and that's usually when you'll get the biggest fish of the day.
So, Frank, perseverance in your tactic leads to success. I get that. But, again, Tom P., I changed it. I'm not catching fish. How long do you give it? I mean, you're hitting it, you're doing it right, and nothing's really happening. You will switch a tactic or a type of bait or something? What's the deal?
If we're on a wreck for about 20 minutes, half an hour, and if we've gotten a couple little taps and nobody caught a fish, or maybe if we caught one fish, after about a half an hour, we're probably going to leave and go to a different wreck. Hey, Tom, you know what? Last week we were on a boat. We were on Fishing Fever out of Cape May.
Tommy Daffin.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tommy's at Hutchins Marina. Bobby Cope, shout out there to Fullhead.
I'm so lucky to fish with Tom Daffin. But anyway, we're out there fishing, and the bite's starting to get a little bit slow. You know what I mean? And the guy on the back of the boat, he starts fishing the jig. And, I mean, literally, we're in like 110-foot of water. He's fishing the jig. Okay. He's back there. He's trying to catch a little fish. I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm fishing 10-ounce weight and white crabs. I'm fishing for big fish. At the end of the day, he caught a couple fish. This guy started the day off. He came into cabin and said, hey, let's have a gentleman's bet. Let's bet $50 for a pool, biggest fish, but it's got to be a teenager. Okay, all right, we're on it.
Frank's on it.
Don't you know we pull out there, Tom, the first crab of the day, I hit the bottom, boom, 12.5 pounder. This guy liked to throw up. So in the meantime, he's back there fishing with his jig. During the course of the day, here's what my totals look like. I don't even know how many roasters I kept. I think I kept a double limit. I kept 10 fish. I only retained a limit.
Mm-hmm.
I released 2 7s, an 8, 2 9s, and a 12.5. That's what I released. He released maybe half a dozen fish, little insignificant fish. So again, you gotta play. You gotta play what you gotta play to your strengths when you're out there in deep water. But then again, I know some guys that are so skilled with the jig, and that's the game they choose to play. They lose way too many fish. I can't stand losing big fish.
Uh-huh.
I get the bite. I'm fishing the rig, and I definitely will get the bite. But I tend to not lose them so much because of my technique of setting the hook and fighting the big fish.
Frank, again, reasons. One or two reasons that you see what not to do. Losing big, especially up top. Right, I've seen it happen near the boat, near the net, whatever. What do you see happening? Poor rod handling, hooks not sharp, you think? What?
Guys, guys just literally not thinking of what they're doing mechanically. I mean, the way I'm fishing, when I'm fishing a slack line, I'm holding the rod horizontally. It's at about my waist high. My left hand is usually on the foregrip, and my right hand is on the rear butt. When I feel that thump, 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 and I'm ready to set the hook, my left hand pulls up like to my shoulder. My right hand pushes the rod butt in front of my hip, so my rod is locked in, and I get on that reel and crank until the fish stops me. So when I start cranking that reel, the way I'm holding the rod will just cork over. I have the fish 15, 20 feet off the bottom before he knows he's in trouble. My rod's locked into my hip. The fish, I'm just holding the fish on the pro togger with a lockdown drag. Whereas I was fishing with a guy the other day, he's reeling left-handed, so he's holding this rod with the right hand behind the reel. He's holding the rod with his right hand behind the reel. The rod butt's floating in the air. He has no leverage. If he does hook a fish, the rod tip's going to go whoop, and the fish is in the wreck, and there you go. You lost another one.
Frank, you sure that wasn't me on the boat? All my bait casters, I was raised spinning. All my bait casters are left-handed. We had the Abu account. Jerry Gomber, Folsom back then, he was the real guy. He said, what the hell's wrong? I said, Jerry, my right arm's dominant. Why? He says, that's why you don't catch. And my lovely Dee Marie, Frank, all her reels, you know, normal. And she said, what's wrong with you?
You know what, Tom? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I can show the guy what to do. I can tell him what to do. At the end of the day, he's still going to do what he wants to do. But I'm using my technique to hook that fish and get that fish out of the structure. Once I get that, I'm holding that fish and he'll make a turn and I'll start reeling a little slowly and I'll get him coming up. I never pump the rod. I hold the rod kind of horizontally. I work the rod between 5 and let's say 9 o'clock. So I keep the bend in that middle, the powerful section of the rod. If the fish wants to dog and go to the bottom again, I'll bow down. I'll let the rod go almost to like 5 o'clock.
Whoa.
The fish will turn. He'll come back up. I'll get a couple turns on him and I'll work him nice and slowly till I get him to the top.
Yeah, Mahalik, you exhausted me. I'm sweating here in the studio. I was like, you're doing it right. Let's get to, Frank, before we get to your outstanding pro tog, your angle here, your braid, what pound, what leader, using fluorocarbon hard mono, pound test. Go into that, please.
I'm using a Diois Altiga 15 with a low speed 5.1 gear ratio.
Beautiful.
I use 50-pound Diois J Braid 8. My top shot is 60-pound Andy Pink mono. My tied in with a Belmar rig tied directly into 60-pound Tsunami Pro fluorocarbon with 5-aught owner hooks.
Frank, let me tell you something about this Tsunami. The fluorocarbon. I was in the beginning of the game. We introduced Seagar user way back when. Hey, look at this Tsunami fluorocarbon. It's fantastic. Especially for people seeing buying it, and they're all good. The Sunline, all these, they're for the money, for the performance, for the lack of fare that we've had over the years with the Tsunami. I'm a Tsunami Pink guy, Frank. That's great fluoro.
The finish on it, Tom.
Yeah,
it's very. It feels like, you know, the old stiff mono we used to get that used to come out of like 4-foot pieces of PVC pipe.
Yeah.
It was like real hard, real stiff. The finish on that Tsunami fluorocarbon is like that, where when you pull it, when you smell it and you pull it tight, the fluoro doesn't bite into itself and get all squirrel tailed.
Yep.
It holds up better than anything. This Tsunami Pro fluorocarbon has been my choice for a while. Actually, when I handed my rod to Chris Sullivan and he caught the new New Jersey State record blackfish on Tom Daffin's boat, he was using my rod with my rig, and it had that fluorocarbon on it rigged exactly the way I just said.
There, okay, Frank, let's get to, we only have about 5-6 minutes left in this segment. Listen, you can see Frank get to the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo Sunday. It's going to be a great show. We're early in this week. I just know it's going to be a great show. Frank's going to be giving a seminar at 12:30. You do not want to miss it. But Frank, to your beginnings with Century, these rods have really, I remember when I first met you, it was 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years, AC Bell. Man, how much for a rod? This is great. And then the more people, Frank, the more people I see with them, good tog fishermen, good, and more, it's the pro togger. And I know guys that won't be on a boat without it. You know, they'll have, that's it. I mean, Frank, designing this rod, how long in the works, the type of the carbon, the formulation? Listen, I picked up one. It's not, you don't even feel it in your freaking hand.
Right. The rod's 7 foot, 10 inches long. Yep. It's a legit big fish rod. Completely assembled, it weighs 9.6 ounces for a 7 foot, 10 inch rod. Okay. It's like silly light.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it very easy for you to fish a slack line. It you don't get fatigued sitting there fishing a big, heavy rod. Sensitivity is off the charts. Top components, titanium guides. I mean, Ryan White and I, there were no holds barred. We really wanted to use the best components to build the best blackfish rod we could. The price of it sits at around $550 or so. I mean, to be honest with you, Tom, in this day and age, I mean, the reels I'm using cost $550.
Exactly, Frank.
Why would I balk about spending that on a rod?
Frank, I'm seeing bass, freshwater bass tournament rods. $900,000. Hey,
for sure. As many hours as I spend with that rod in my hand, that's no problem for me to spend that kind of money for that rod. It lasts you a long time.
Frank, you and Ryan had basically a white sheet of paper to draw on perfecting this, the pro tog. Listen, the pro togger, check it out, man. I'm telling you. But Frank, how many, was it a year in the making, 2 years, trial and error to come out with that exact length, that exact weight, those type of guides? How long, from first, that white sheet of paper that I'm drawing on right now, and to it's on the dealer rack or custom ordered, how long?
Oh, you can, the factory rod from, if you call Ryan White.
No, I'm saying when you started, designing it, how, trial and error, how long?
It took me one try. I got the blank. We had to change the blank one time, and we had to change a guide one time. We had to go to a tall foot guide first,
and then
we had it right. We did have to work with the guide a little bit. At first, the guide was too stiff in the tip, and it was too soft in the top one third of the blank. Like the tip of it was too stiff, but back about a foot, like it kind of locked up. It got too tight. Instead of having a nice smooth parabolic transfer of the power, you know, that's what we were really after with that. I didn't really want to compromise, and I didn't want it to go out until it was exactly what I wanted. And
right.
I mean, you know, Tom, you know what the real thing is with this? There's a lot of guys that are excellent tog fishermen. If they want a rod, get a pro togger blank and go have it built however you want.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a guy who's just getting into black fishing and you don't know what handle length you want, you don't know why that short butt is so important. The butt on the rod's 12 and a half inches. You know why? When you swing the rod and the foregrip is up at your chest and the rod butt is in your hip, at 12 and a half inches, when you put your hand out, it's right there on your reel handle.
Right.
If you have a 16-inch butt, your reel is actually up near your chin. You don't have the power. Like I said, it's these little things that I watched people over the years. I watched people lose fish. And I said, wait, I'm a very mechanical guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fulcrum and a lever. A fishing rod is nothing but a fulcrum and a lever. I did not want the fulcrum out in the middle of the rod, and I didn't want the fulcrum all the way on the end of the rod. I had to figure out how I was going to lock the butt in to my hip.
Wow.
And be comfortable handling the rest of it. And to be honest with you, that has helped my catch of double-digit fish go up tenfold.
Well, Frank, one thing, too, here. We're up against a hard break now. I got to wrap it up. I had one guy, he says, Tommy P., listen. And he had one of the pro toggers. He says, well, I can't, the expletive guy, he's salt there, a cool guy. He said, you can bleep a bleep, the tog bleep and bleep, breathe on that crab, even before he gets it. He said, and Frank, the carbon, the configuration, the chemistry, the carbon, the makeup, whatever, that is something.
Yeah,
that sensitivity is something.
It's graphene thread, graphene woven fabric, and it's little things with Century. The amount of money they spend to build a blank is insane, mm-hmm. and it's because Century's not really a fishing rod company. They make products for the aerospace industry,
right,
and they make products for Formula One race cars. They don't just like wrap thread around a rod and stick some resin on it and it's out the door. They actually weave the thread on the rod so that when you take a Century rod and you compress it and you load the rod and bend it, there's no torsional deflection. Whereas normally when you take a rod and you bend it over, because the varying taper of the rod tip, the rod actually twists. Century rods don't do that because they weave this thread on like unidirectionally. The money they spend is insane. Just to do things awesomely, you know, to do it crazy out of the box.
And it's one of those things, listeners, you get what you pay for here. I'm not hawking. I'm just telling you, these rods are fantastic. And realistically, as I said, with the bass rods and some of the fly rods, we're like, what's the Orvis, the Helios we're looking at? $1,200 for a friggin' fly rod, three-way fly rod. Whoa.
Hey,
so
Tom,
it's out there. It's very reasonable from my end.
Keep in mind, Tom, I want to say something real quick.
Sure.
I don't make one red cent from you buying a Pro Togger. I don't care if you buy a Pro Togger or not. It really doesn't matter to me. I want to help you get big fish. I'm not worried. I don't do this for a living. I don't do it to make a couple extra bucks. I don't earn one red cent when somebody buys a Pro Togger.
And there you go.
I want to help them catch big fish. I don't want to see them lose these fish.
Listeners, and that's why check out Sunday at 12:30, Wildwood Fishing Club. Meet Frank up and let's get his seminar down. Your head's going to explode from the amount of knowledge you're going to obtain in that short period of time of that seminar. Frank's also going to be at the AC Boat Show. Frank, you said you're going to be at the Saltwater Expo, correct?
I will be at the Saltwater Expo both Saturday and Sunday.
Frank, one last thing before we go. I know I'm long on this. Again, like I said, I'm not stroking here, but I've seen you. You are so, again, free with your sharing the knowledge and trying to help people catch bigger fish. I mean, I sometimes see you doing that more than you're actually fishing. That's really a blessing on your end, man. I really admire you for that.
Appreciate it, Tom. To a degree, and you know what? It has to do with if people are willing. I mean, if we're on a deck with somebody and if I only fish with them a couple times, they may ask me to do something and I'll show them something. But if I turn around and if they keep on doing it the way they're doing it, it's okay. Just don't bother me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I understand. I mean, in the words of my friend Chris Sullivan, who I fish with an awful lot, Chris says, you know what, Frank, don't take this the wrong way, but you're a really hard guy to fish next to. So I'm not sure if I should take that as a compliment or not, but it is kind of funny.
Well, Frank, you've taught me things over the years. Little nuggets here and there. He will make you a better tog. Hey, Frank, when do you get a chance to go fluking? Do you even do that anymore?
Yeah, I did a lot of fluking this year early in the backwater. I really did not do much offshore fluking or charter fluking, mostly because, Tom, what I did was I just decided to go 1,000% into the blackfish game. So I'm, like I said, I'm chartered every Saturday and Sunday out of Cape May from mid-November to mid-January. And the month of March, there's eight weekend days. I probably have like 15 charter trips in the month of March.
Wow.
So
Malik, wait a second. So what you're telling me is that there's no chance for a pro fluker coming out? he won't spill that one.
We do have quite a good bit of rods that actually fit that bill nicely, and I was able to help design quite a few of them. So, you know, the thing with Century is a lot of the rods get a little confusing because they have like the Weapon Junior, the Weapon Junior Mag Taper, the Weapon Mag Taper. So unless you talk to a guy that really knows, I'm like, no kidding, I'll have guys come over my house. Like, yo, you live nearby, stop over. I have like every rod in my garage. I show them. I see what they want. Sometimes I let guys use the rods. I want to make sure they get the rod that they really like, you know?
Listen, the Pro Togger, Frank, will be, Frankie M, as I call him, DD, double digit, will be giving a seminar at 12:30 Sunday, Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. That alone, and Jenny Ackerman's going to be there from the fish. All good, great lineup of seminars. Frank's, his seminar alone is worth a $10 entry fee. Frank, I'll see you there Sunday, God spares, man.
I'll see you. I'll be at the fisherman booth early, okay, Tom?
Oh, Johnny the Bone is going to... Oh, man. Oh, boy. I guess it's going to be a good one. Frank, we'll see you then. Thanks so much. Godspeed.
Thanks, Tom.
See you, brother.
There. Bye-bye.
Frank Mihalik, just a great guy. He shares the knowledge. See guys go to him, what are you doing? And Frank will stop fishing. Okay, this is what I'll tell you once, twice, whatever. But he's willing to some guys and gals they're really good. Don't bother me. I'm fishing. Don't bother me. I'm fishing. Well, and that's their gig. Frank shares it up. Okay, man, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. California wildfire victim and actor Mel Gibson on Fox's The Ingram Angle. Gibson criticizing response to the devastating wildfires.
Some people were asleep on the job, mainly our leaders there. But, you know, that's something they have to live with. But that's something the community has to live with. And it's really sad.
The historic wildfires have left at least 11 people dead and destroyed over 10,000 structures. LA's Mayor Karen Bass has promised an evaluation to what worked and what didn't following the wildfires. President Joe Biden announcing new sanctions Friday against Russia's energy sector. The sanctions potentially impacting gas prices.
It is probable that gas prices could increase as much as 3-4 cents a gallon. But it's going to have a more profound impact on Russia's ability to continue to act in the way it's acting in the conduct of war.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey today. It'll be cloudy, a little snow early this morning, then becoming breezy with a mix of clouds and sun this afternoon. Expect some slick travel early, then some improvement, the high of 34. Clear and cold tonight, breezy too, the low down to 23. Sunday, sunny, not as cold, the high up to 42, and plenty of sunshine Monday, the high 44. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Jason Caterina on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, that was talking Tog there with Frank Mihalik, man. Double D. Trophy Tog. Hey, man. One day closer to springtime, and as it goes, especially on the freshwater. And hey, just received a note from DEP's Fish and Wildlife. Your opinion matters. Hey, man, the trout season pretty approaching rather quickly. Would you like to know about the proposed changes to the upcoming 2026 Fish Code? If so, register to virtually attend a Fish Code changes meeting January 16th. That's next Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. NJDEP Fish and Wildlife Bureau Freshwater Fisheries staff ace crew there. Shout out to Sean Krause, Chief Chris Smell, that whole crew is fantastic. We'll present the proposed changes to the 2026 fishing regulations and progress. I'm telling you, Jersey freshwater fishing is off the charts great. They tweaked it even more, expanding opportunities. Oh, I'm going to be tuning into that. You better believe that one. You'll also have an opportunity to ask questions and provide feedback. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for more information on that. Now, a few years ago, Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries introduced the Fishing Buddy License Program. Success was a little confusing at first. Now, in the Freshwater Fishing Digest is now available hard copy at all license issuing agents. They've cleaned up the program and made it really much more advantageous. Joining us online right now, a very good friend of Rack and Fin Radio, is Dave Golden, DEP Assistant Commissioner for Fish and Wildlife. Dave, this Fish and Buddy program, you got the little knot straightened out. It is going to be kick-ass.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on. We're excited to finally have the Buddy Fishing Program in place the way it was always intended to be, which is to give big discounts for returning anglers that bring a new angler on board. So, and the change, you know, it may seem subtle, but the problem we had was the original legislation put a flag in the ground and said, if you hadn't fished since 2010,
right.
So now here we are 14 years past that. So a new angler, we really wanted that to be a 5-year moving window. So now you're considered a new angler if you haven't fished in the past 5 years. That's the way it was always meant to be. So if a returning angler brings a new angler and they both buy their license at the same time, they both get nearly a 50% discount on their fishing license. And that's what
Whoa.
We're excited about.
Hey, man, tax cut. That's the way I look at it. Well, Dave, question, the Trout stamp will remain the same, correct?
Yeah, Trout stamp will remain the same. That's correct. So this is on your primary license. But, it, you know, it's all part of our bigger, broader initiative to get people out on the water, mm-hmm. remove barriers for people to legally fish and also hunt. But, you know, as we talk about the buddy license, it's all about fishing. It's all about people getting out there. It's all about bringing in new anglers.
Dave, it's a win-win all around. But question, do you have to be fishing with the person you bought the license with?
You do not. You have to.
Oh, okay.
This is just to get your license. But you need to purchase those licenses at the same time. So if you're mm-hmm. doing it at a licensed vendor, you both need to go in together. If you're doing it through our online system, which you can do, you need to coordinate and put both those licenses in the shopping cart at the same time and buy them. And there's details on our website about exactly how to do that, but you can do it either way, online or at a licensed vendor.
Listen, we're talking saving significant scratch here. For example, resident fishing license, $22.50, non-resident fishing license, $34, all-around license, $72.25. Buddy up and save here. Here's it goes. Resident buddy fishing is now $11.75. Non-resident buddy fishing $17.50. All-around buddy license $62.25. Dave, that's worth the effort. Get somebody and get in there and get your license, man, and get them back into fishing. As I maintain, Golden, Jersey freshwater fishing is off the freaking hook. Great, man.
Great.
I think it's over. And this hearing coming up, Dave, I'm very, very excited. Listen, I had to announce some of this. Dave, you're going to take it out of the stratosphere, man.
Yeah, with the game, the fish code?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The fish code changes are significant, and I appreciate you promoting the upcoming meeting on January 16th. Everyone should attend. We're excited about the changes. Again, it's part of this bigger, broader initiative to make fishing more accessible, give more opportunity, reduce some of the more complicated regulations, simplify our regulations. We're doing it with the game code and hunting.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah on that, Dave.
we want people outside. We want people enjoying the research the resource, and anything we can do to get them there, that's what we're trying to do.
And Dave, between the outstanding job putting out the Salmonas, the Rainbows at PeaQuest, and then Hackettstown with the Northerns, the Muskies, the Channel Cats, the small, the large, but the walleyes, the Atlantic Salmon, Landlocked Atlantic Salmon programs, how could you not enjoy freshwater fishing in New Jersey? We have some of the best Southern Tier counties, especially some of the bass fishing in the state, if not the tri-state. And we have the pros here. You got DePalma, you have Iaconelli, a couple other guys that are on the circuit. I mean, everything is here.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, I get invited. Hey, Tom P., we're going up to the Finger Lakes, going to Finger Lakes, Northern Pike. Yeah, man, I can go over to Bud Lake. I can go over to the Passaic River, up where I used to live up there in North Jersey, 10 minutes away. You guys, everything's here.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, in terms of expanding opportunity, Hackettstown, they're moving in a direction to stock more catchable fish, but there's still, you know, millions of fish stocked each year. PeaQuest, you know, they're always stocking over 600,000 trout. And under our proposed fish code changes, we're looking to add 22 additional small ponds to the spring stocking program. So just really trying to expand opportunity for Jersey anglers.
Hey, Dave, could I break one now?
Sure.
Listeners, one of my favorite I had an article years ago in The Fisherman called Patriot Lake. Right there in Absecon behind the library, the Atlantic County Library. Little 2-acre, 2-something acre. You have about 75, 80% shoreline access. Nice fishing gazebo, beautiful water. You get bass in there. They put those super cats in there this past October. What was their name? And the crew there. Brooke Wakefu, she was a driver, and they put in captains, Dave, up to, Dave, 16, 17 pounds. I saw them there. Shout out to Captain Scott Newhall, who was there as well, putting these catfish in. And they're going to be stocking that with trout, which is fine, because even if it's once preseason, those fish are going to last well into May. Gives the kids an opportunity, besides Birch Grove and the Absecon Pit, you know, Heritage Park Pond. It's right, Dave, it's right there. It's availing more people to it, especially the youngsters. And that, to me, is the linchpin, man.
Yeah, and that's one of our goals there. You know, that's some of the thinking behind it. And since you broke one, I'll break one. We're also proposing to remove the preseason closures in all stocked lakes and ponds.
Dave, you're killing my show with Sean Krause. What are you doing to me? Dave, very important, please. Bass guys, and I'm one of them, go into that. Dave, that's critical. I saw this. They've seen the light. I'm tired of a couple of guys. Hey, I'll kick your. Hey, buddy, you can't be fishing here. It's I don't trout fish, but it says right there. I don't trout. I'm a basser. And get leave it. Okay, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Call the whatever. This listeners, go ahead. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm stealing your thunder. Go, man.
No, you're doing great. And I just want to sort of whet everyone's appetite for what's to come here, and really encourage them to get to that January 16th meeting. Because we want to hear the feedback. We presented this through the Fish and Game Council. They're supportive of the changes. They're really proposing the changes. And we're just trying to deliver the message and give people great opportunities to get out and fish in these great places we have in New Jersey.
It just gets, Dave, going. It gets better and better, man. It gets just better and better. The opportunities that avail themselves. I mean, you want to do the road trip, that's fine. Who doesn't like a road trip? But there's so many waters that... And Dave, I've been here, it seems like 138 years. I've been living in Jersey on and off. And there's some waters that I'm still finding. And like, whoa, I would name a few offline. I'll tell you something. Like, God, I'm, again, one of those hiding in plain sight situations. You go, let me stop and throw in a little spinnerbait. Mary, mother of God. You know?
Yeah.
It's something. Yeah. Well, Golden, great job here, man. Listeners, njfishandwildlife.com if you want more information on your opinion matters regarding the fish code hearing for 2026. It's going to be here. I know it's already 2020. Dave, to me, it's already March, the way my schedule is. Let's let it rock. Great job, Fish and Wildlife, Dave. Congratulations. Keep it going, brother.
Yeah, thanks, Tom P. Thanks for your ongoing support, and really shout out to all Fish and Wildlife staff for making these programs great.
Yeah, and we still got winter bow going on, man. Me and the lovely Demery, we're out there. Oh. But, Dave, I got ice. Okay, man.
Yeah.
Take care, brother.
Be safe.
Be good. Bye. Dave Golden, great guy. Up against a hard break. Close it out. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, since the pandemic, girls have suffered greater declines in test scores than boys. We'll examine why. Also, the newest technology devices unveiled at CES. Plus, have you noticed that at your office building, it's taking longer and longer to get the oldest elevator serviced and repaired? And why more of us have an interest in running in a marathon? That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Volunteering in your community is extremely rewarding. The Cape May County Medical Reserve Corps, MRC, is seeking your help. Make new friends, develop new skills, and give something back by calling 609-463-6692 to find out more about becoming a Medical Reserve Corps member. The MRC is recruiting now for individuals of all backgrounds and qualifications. Be part of the effort to keep Cape May County safe and prepared in case of an emergency. Call today at 609-463-6692 or visit njlincs.net.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
And that'll do it for this week on a Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Don't forget, today and tomorrow wraps up the 3-day Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Starts Friday. Admission, adults $10, youngsters 6 to 13, $3, 5 and under are free. Parking is still free. All seminars are free. A Yeti 65 giveaway all 3 days. You got 14 or 15 boat dealers there, 100 boats on display. That he is sold out of space. Check it out. No more vendor space. It is a jam packed show. Congratulations to Jerry on that. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. Oh, wait, show hours. Saturday today is going to be 9 to 6, and tomorrow Sunday is going to be 9 to 2. Get down here and say it again. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. See you at the Fishing and Boating Expo.